Come on in, come on in, come on in. All geeks are welcome in this space. Let's learn together and see Kiz face. I'm Lem Filia, a.k.a. Bad Gamer Elite, joined by the man himself with the coolest epic beard. If you are not watching a video version of this, which may or may not exist, I don't know. But
we'll see.
We'll see what happens with his cool city background. Guys, it's Ryan from City on a Hill Gaming, which means it's time for the Bible and books. Let's go.
I just want to say shout out to Discord for not requiring I have a green screen to cover up the mess in my room. Y'all are appreciated. Shout out to the homies. No, what's good, man? You ready to do this thing?
Oh, let's do a thing, because for those who don't know, in the past, I've been hosting a lot of our podcasts, a lot of the interviews with folks, and our friend Thanatos Angelos, a.k.a. Lucas, said, you know what I'd like to see you do at some point? I'd like you to see you just give the hosting duties to somebody else, and you're technically the guest, and let's see what happens.
On your own show.
Yeah, on my own show. I said, let's try it. And it's been working pretty well.
And now you're doing this with, like, what, three people?
Yeah,
There's three or four of these now.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We're doing Bible and Books. We're doing Music and the Message, Christ and Comics. We hope to get back to Faith and Film so that our boy David or Codger will be able to come back in. And we're going to try to get God in Games, but it's tough to nail down the host that we have in mind for that.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah. I got you.
So right now, technically three.
I think it's funny. The book we're going to talk about this time is something, until I met you, I had never heard of.
Oh, yeah.
And you turned me onto this when I first looked at it. I'm like, I'm not sold on this one. I like it. I'm not that far into it. I didn't actually have to get that far to find something workable for this. But I dig it. It should not be right up my alley, but it definitely is. I'm here for it. So we're going a little. I don't know how we ended up on our second young adult book, because I consider Ender's Game.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A young adult, I guess, young adult science fiction.
Yeah.
This is just. What is it? Okay, what is Wikipedia tell me this is considered? Young adult fantasy.
Yeah, I was gonna say young adult fantasy.
Like modern fantasy.
Yeah. But like listening to your Devos on the Daily Nerd Devo and the stuff you enjoy, I was like, oh yeah, he's gonna dig this.
I actually do dig this. You got me on this one. So this is book one of the Artemis Fowl series.
Yes.
11 book series. I had to look up how you pronounce the author's name because he is Irish, I believe.
Yes.
But it's Owen Colfer.
Yes.
And this first book is from 2001. There was a movie that came out about, I guess, 3 years ago, years ago. It was on Disney Plus, but apparently isn't anymore.
Yeah, because we don't talk about it.
How about the movie? Okay. All right. Fair enough. It has an actor I like in it. The guy who plays Butler.
Yeah,
was
Josh
in
Gad.
A TV show I watched briefly.
Josh Gad was in it, though.
Yes, but no. Who plays? Hold on.
I
looked at this last night.
Oh yeah. Oh, I know. Now what you're talking about.
Big man. Nonzo Anozie.
He is reminiscent.
I mean, I'm probably
my
saying
cousin.
That wrong, but
my cousin John is like his size.
okay. Yeah. Big man. He was in Zoo. It was a CBS series based on a book. Animal music. So I only watched the first season of Zoo, but I actually really liked it.
Oh, that was a good
one. It turns out there's two more seasons of Zoo that I didn't know about that I found last night. But I actually, he was in Zoo and he does a really good job. I actually, man, 6'6", good night.
Was he in Sweet Tooth as well?
He is in Sweet Tooth.
Yeah, he's big man in Sweet Tooth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does show up in his listings. He is Tommy.
Yes. I love him.
Apparently he was also in Ted Lasso.
My guy's been in a lot of stuff.
Yes. he plays what I'll call a fairly main character in in Artemis, certainly one that's big in the part of the book I've read so far.
Yes.
But so the books follow a, what is he, 12 when the series starts, I think?
Yeah.
It follows two characters so far. So there is 12-year-old Artemis Fowl, who is a rather eccentric, incredibly intelligent, zero moral compass teenager with a real specific goal in mind. Well, I'll say two goals in mind.
Yes.
And then the opposite end you get, because this is a, I don't want to call it high fantasy, because it's like, it's very modern. Like, it is set in our active, well, 2000 version of our active world.
It's our century. It's the 21st century.
Yeah, yeah. But it also follows an elf character who is, they have a very, Owen Colfer has a very specific way of explaining, like, fey creatures.
Yes.
And kind of broadly bringing them all together. And so you also meet Holly Short, who is a fey creature who is a, what I'll refer to as a police officer, essentially.
You can say it.
They, wait, oh yeah, no, I do. Okay, all right. So she is part of the lower elements police. Let me find, because I've got the book pulled up, because I've been reading this on Kindle.
She's on the recon team.
Yes,
of the lower
elements police, which means she is a leprechaun. leprechaun. You got to say it right. So that is, leprechaun is a job title. And she even, and I hated this, I hated that he put this in here, because she talks about the uniform she wears currently.
Yes.
Which is just like kind of what you imagine, like your standard issue, like
police uniform,
like SWAT team kind of thing. Yeah. That kind of thing. But she talks about what they used to have to wear. And she, which is basically exactly what you imagine when you say the word leprechaun. And I'm like, no, no, sir. That is not what I signed up for. This is not okay. Do not do that to her.
Oh, no,
she doesn't have to wear that uniform. Well, oh, yeah, okay. What Holly refers to as the top of the morning costume. No. No, stop that. That is not okay. And
I've never read the actual pages. I've only listened to the audiobook.
Uses the audiobook, okay.
And
it's got to be so much better.
It's so good.
It's the top of the morning uniform. But she... So it follows the two of them, and from my understanding, the series continues on, because I think the first 8 books follow Artemis and her to some extent.
Yes.
And then I think there's 5 more books that follow his younger brothers.
Yes.
If I understand correctly, it's a second series, but it's all part of the same.
It's the same universe.
Stretch of things.
Yeah, same universe. Yeah. I've
very successful series.
I've listened to the first book of the Twins series, and
okay,
I'm an Artemis Fowl fan, like through and through. I was not disappointed in it.
Okay, it's just called the Fowl Twins.
Yeah. I can't say that it's like, oh my gosh, it's as good or better than the other one, but I was not disappointed. I think what they did.
I think potentially that series isn't technically done yet, but I don't know that for certain.
Yeah.
But he's apparently the author has looked at doing even more stuff with it. But what the story starts with, and obviously we're going to spoil the crap out of this.
Oh, yeah.
So if I remember correctly, because I started reading this about a month and a half ago and still only got 3 chapters in. So your boy is stretching it a little bit.
Don't worry. I have it all memorized. It's okay.
Okay, good. Good. That's what you love to see. Apparently the second book is called Die Hard with, is described as Die Hard with Fairies. And now.
Yeah.
Okay, I may have to keep reading. All right.
My gosh. 1,000%. Yes.
Die Hard with Fairies. I'm upset. I love it. So Artemis' father, who is a, I don't even think billionaire cuts it, probably closer to like trillionaire.
Yeah, yeah.
It is what we would call it. All predominantly through illegal things. Has disappeared, is possibly dead. And it has left the family in shambles. His mother has become something of a recluse, is not out and around the world, and is dealing with some serious, like, legitimate, like, mental health issues.
Yeah.
Because of everything that's gone on. And Artemis has taken it upon himself to restore the family fortune, possibly find his father, and try and make his mother okay. Entirely by doing bad things. exclusively by doing bad things. Like poisoning people.
He's had a little bit of an influence, I'm just saying.
He does. He may have taken after his father a lot. Two chapters in, the man's already poisoned somebody and threatened to have his bodyguard, known as Butler, which is just the worst title for a bodyguard. Because okay. I'm like, oh, his Butler. Oh, it's not his Butler. I'm upset.
Okay. His name is Butler. Okay.
The family name is Butler.
Right. The family name is Butler.
And we're going to come back to why that family name matters.
Yeah.
Because that is very relevant. And I kind of like Butler. Just a little bit I've seen of the character, especially. So the process is that most of the members of Artemis's family have a bodyguard. And that bodyguard is from the Butler family. And basically, when you are born in the Fowl family, you are assigned a bodyguard. You are assigned a butler.
You get a butler.
And he has had butlers since he was basically born. And this is like, I would almost describe this as like a Chewbacca Han Solo kind of thing.
Yes, yes.
Where this is like, this is not like bodyguard in your traditional like, dude in the two-piece with the gun tucked in, like on John Wick, who gets punched twice and falls over. This is like as close as you can get to life debt without being life debt. Like when you are born into the Butler family, you are sent to essentially like assassin training school, but then also like culinary school, and like it's like a full service thing, and they are well compensated. But there's more to it than that. There's a lot of depth. I'd actually like a series of books just on the Butler family.
Just the Butlers. Like,
I think you could actually get away with a whole thing for them.
That you can go to the start of, and then maybe at the end of the series or end of the book, you see where the Butler family and the Fowls come together.
Because if I remember, you actually could go that deep. Because if I remember correctly, this is a relationship that dates back to like the 14 or 1500s.
Yeah.
It's something like that in terms of how long these two families have been tied together.
Yeah. You could even go, like, if you wanted to, you could do a like one shot miniseries for every century or whatever.
Oh. Just a series of, like, just introduce a series of new Fowl and Butler characters and just push them through history. Yeah, no, I dig that. That'd actually be sick. And it's interesting because I'm looking at the Wikipedia article and kind of a summary. The Fowls, even though Artemis is the main character, he is technically, for the most part, your villain.
Yeah.
And Holly, even though she is not the protagonist, is still technically your hero.
Yep.
In some sense. But the thing I wanted to talk about is something you see very quickly in this book, and I don't know if this is intentional by the author or not, but it's this discussion of why we do what we do. Like, what motivates us? Because three chapters in, I'm constantly watching bad things happen for bad reasons. Bad things happen for good reasons. Good things happen for good reasons. And good things happen for bad reasons. Mm. And there's a lot of, like, doing whatever you have to do to accomplish something, even if that means you do infinite good to accomplish something bad, or infinite bad to accomplish something good. And in my mind, as a Christian, the question is that okay? And where is the struggle? Like, that's the struggle point for me.
Yeah.
Because with Artemis, all the bad in the world to restore the family fortune only gained by bad things is just kind of a wash. That's like your traditional villain, you know, quest for power and vengeance. Like, that's pretty stock standard.
Yeah.
But you see very quickly, you see a very different Artemis the second he comes home and is back around his mother.
Yeah.
Because then you're back to seeing a 12-year-old who just wants his mother to be happy and okay and the family to be okay no matter what. Mm. And that no matter what is what concerns me. Because, like, he goes in and talks to his mother, and they have this discussion, and he lies to her, I think maybe even two or three times, all to keep her calm or make her happy. Making her happy, not a bad thing. Keeping her calm, not a bad thing. Trying to prevent her from slipping further into the very legitimate, like, clinical mental health issue she has.
Yeah.
Not a bad thing. Actively a good thing. But only he only seems to be able to do so by doing bad things. And that it's this weird parallel. And I don't know how to process it.
Well, and just as a side note, later in the series, the cause, they go deeper into the cause and reasoning behind her illness. And it's, again, that struggle of good things, the bad things for good reasons. That's a common theme throughout the whole series. Yeah.
Well, and I think you even see it with Butler, because they have this longstanding tradition of service, but it is service no matter what, with basically no questions.
Yeah.
And so, and I struggle, and I think as the church broadly, we struggle with accepting things that have become the norm. In that, like I'm, and for the sake of the show, I'm going to be careful with what I say. But there are some very specific things the church has accepted as standard and normal, and even actively promoted.
Yeah.
Over the centuries, that have been outright wrong.
Right.
I'll eschew the first example I had, and I'll go to the Crusades. Which were mostly done at the behest of the church, and mostly for bad reasons. That was essentially just thousands of people died to accomplish nothing of actual success for God's glory.
Right.
But at the quote unquote behest of God's glory. It is very easy to get trapped in this. Well, that's what we've always done. We've always said that was okay, or we've always said that wasn't okay. Whether it was or not. And that we do it now still in the church.
Yeah.
Especially in the States, I think that's a real issue. I'll say this briefly and then I'll move right on past it. There was a period of at least 50 to 100 years where in at least certain parts of the country, the parts I live in, unfortunately, the church actively promoted slavery.
Yeah.
As being... Okay. Outright acceptable and positive.
Let's do it.
Let's do the thing. And that's not at all. That was never God's intention. But it was the norm, and so you just went along with it. And that's what I see in Butler. Not the slavery side of it, just the this is what we have always done, so this is what I will continue to do. And the one of the most dangerous things was this is what I was raised to do.
Ooh.
And that one's that's a harsh line, and especially in faith, you got to watch that one.
Yeah, there's a book called The Servant.
Okay,
I believe it's called The Servant, and it has one of my favorite lines. I think I've said it here. I know I've said it on a podcast in the past. God has no grandchildren.
Okay. Break that one down for me.
Okay. So what my parents believe does not make me okay in God's eyes. So if
just because your parents are Christian doesn't mean you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
100%.
So it kind of works that same way where it's, well, this is what I was always raised. Okay. Right. But did the folks that raised you raise you the way that the Bible is saying for you to go? Or is it the way that they were taught the Bible said it was to go?
What their pastor or their minister said. And so they went with it because the pastor said it.
Right.
And now you're raised that way because the pastor said it.
Right. I always like to...
And largely, look, that's how you have to teach scripture sometimes. Yeah. But it doesn't always mean it's actually correct.
And it doesn't mean that you don't go check it yourself.
And it doesn't mean it was ever scripture to begin with in some cases.
There's,
and so,
yeah.
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 It's very much how I look at Butler is like, justifying something because, and don't get me wrong, you see very quickly that he actually does care about Artemis.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just a job to him.
It is not.
But he's still doing. I cannot
tell you how much it's not just a job.
You immediately watch him do repeatedly awful things. All because Artemis told him to, because that's his job.
Yeah.
And that kind of justification, I think, for me is problematic.
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely agree with that. He does it. He does it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of that is he's getting that from a 12-year-old boy.
Taking unquestioning orders from someone less than half his age, clearly bent on the destruction of the world. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's Tuesday.
Yeah.
No.
That's a Tuesday.
And you see that sort of in Star Wars. Like, Chewbacca is sort of that way.
Yeah.
But there are limits. Chewbacca will...
He'll speak up.
I mean, we don't really know what he's... But he'll speak up in his own way.
Yeah.
No one... The Wookiee language, which I think is Shriwook, is treated as people understand it even if they can't speak it, but we never understand it. We're just told what he's saying.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I still think that's funny. But he's not afraid to push back. And you see Butler, even early on, do it a little. But for the most part, it's kind of unquestioning. Very early in the book, he reminds me very much of a... kind of like your number two or number three guy in like a mob family.
Yeah.
Whatever the boss says is what you do. That's just the job.
Yeah.
There are no questions. There is no, are you sure? What are the repercussions? You just do the thing.
Yeah.
And normally the thing is violence. Realistically, yeah. The thing is largely violence. But he just goes with it because that's what he's trained to do. And because he cares about Artemis. Like, but again... Either it's because it's what he's trained to do, which is maybe a good or a bad thing, or because he cares about Artemis, which is a good thing, but he's still doing bad things for those purposes.
Right.
And then, in almost the opposite sense, you have Holly, who is, if I remember correctly, the only female in her department.
Yes, there's one other. There's only one other female in. On the force, but does not do what
doesn't have the responsibility.
Right,
she does.
She's not recon.
Right. And recon's a big deal. Recon is like actively out and in front of humans, which typically the fairy folk in these magically are not in front of humans very intentionally.
Right.
There was a whole war. There's a whole thing there. But
I cannot wait.
For you start to see. Does he actually break down the war at some point? I feel like somewhere that he, like, there's a discussion of it.
There's a whole book that covers a good chunk of the history of the war.
Okay, sick.
Yeah, it's later.
A little bit later. Okay, get there eventually. So you watch her constantly at odds with her commanding officer, who we learn in the long run is hard on her. For good reasons, because he wants to see her be successful.
Yes.
But again, he treats her poorly to make her tougher, which is not necessarily how you should always do that. It's a little bit of a parental thing, and so I can sort of let it slide.
Yeah.
But it has an effect on her that is negative.
Yes. She thinks...
Just mean.
That Commander Root, which, mm-hmm. funny enough, on Twitch, there's a bot from... Which that is Commander Root.
Is Commander Root.
That is, and that's what that bot does. It really just monitors what the streamers are doing. Like, it is an official Twitch bot.
That's just like there to look for.
Yeah, look for bad things.
Problematic things. Yeah. Okay. I got you.
He is not nice.
No.
He is not nice.
Mm-mm.
To anyone. But he is super hard on Holly. And what happens with Holly is she takes that as, I'm never going to be good enough.
Right. Where he's ultimately trying to help, he is actually doing her a disservice.
Yeah.
And you see that reflected a little bit in her actions, because she will go out of her way and step across the line she's not supposed to step across and try and do good. But ultimately, sometimes I think it's just for the sake of proving herself. And I may be misinterpreting that.
No, that's the right.
But it feels like she's doing the exact opposite of Artemis. She's now doing good things for bad reasons.
Yeah.
Instead of him doing bad things for good reasons. And I think it makes an interesting approach, and it makes me question what motivates us. Cause there are a lot of things I want to do. And this comes to me specifically as a content creator, I guess.
Yeah.
Where the line is between creating content and doing what I'm doing because it's ministry and I'm doing it for God, versus me trying to be a content creator in everything that you associate with that word.
Right.
Your boy would love to be famous, but that's not the point.
Right.
And your boy would be real bad at being famous.
I'd be absolutely horrible.
100% awful at that.
I would be canceled so fast.
it would not be good. I don't know who would be canceling me. Maybe both sides.
Yeah, just because.
Just got to offend everybody.
Because I'm not super careful with everything I do.
No, same.
You know, same. I forget to recycle sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know,
sometimes on the low end of things. Yeah, we're just talking base roots. Yeah, I feel that. And that's dangerous for us, because we have to determine. Ultimately, the things we do, especially in ministry, are supposed to be about God's glory.
Yes.
And the kingdom. And I think, so I'm Church of God. And in the Church of God, we have, every 2 years, we have what's called General Assembly, which is like the big international, just like week of meetings.
Right.
And services. And it used to be in line with that, and now it's on the opposite years. They have something called Teen Talent, which is a series of competitions in like choir, praise band, art, digital media,
okay.
And what's called Bible quiz.
Ooh.
And so you spend all this time building up and preparing your projects or studying to do these competitions. And they always talk to you about how it is for what you're doing is using your talents for God's glory, which is what we should be doing.
Right.
As a competitor, that is almost never what it's about. It's about winning.
Yeah.
It's about being successful. It's about showing off. It is rarely, as someone who did it for a long time, to some middling level of success at best, because your boy's voice ain't great. So we tuck into the large choir and we hide that bass voice.
Yeah, you do.
With 74 other people. And we do team Bible quiz where somebody else, we just kind of carry the load together. Yes. As a group. But no, like for the actual kids, I'm not going to lump this on everybody. Some of them are competing for God's glory, and that's great.
Yeah.
A lot of us were not. Because as much as we were told that's what we were doing, I don't think that was our mindset. We were there to compete and try and be successful. And so I think even in church, it is very easy to end up in the frame of mind of, I hate the phrase, the ends justify the means.
Okay, yeah.
So like, okay, we'll get real offensive here for a second. There are people I think that are very successful in ministry, and I won't name names, but I have a hard time rationalizing, in some cases, the damage they do, or the harm they cause, or the paths they lead people down, if people still become Christians. So, like, ultimately good, because someone's going to heaven, and right. That's, like, the most important thing. But if you hurt a bunch of other people, I'm not going to say it wasn't worth it, because someone's eternity is always worth it.
Right.
But if you still did it the wrong way and someone got hurt, you may be having the opposite effect. I'm glad you saved that one person, but there's so much damage you can do if you're not careful. And it happens a lot.
Have you seen the Christmas movie with Ryan Reynolds and Will Ferrell? What's it called? Spirited.
I don't. Is this an It's like, is it live action or is it?
It's live action.
Okay. No.
Okay. It's on. I know it's on.
Oh. Apple, it's like 2 years old.
Yeah, it's a couple years old.
Okay. Those two make a heady duo. All right.
It
good.
Is like, I love it. I absolutely love the movie. But one of the things they talk about is the ripples. So where are the ripples? This is where you're going, and they it's basically they run it's an organization of ghosts that run this whole Charles Dickens Christmas Carol thing.
Right,
and they pick one person that's who they're gonna do next. That's what they're gonna do next year is this one person.
Okay, is what effect can they have on them?
Right, and the thing that they go for is what is the ripple? Who is gonna have the most ripples?
Okay, so like, okay. So, I got you. I dig this.
So in this case, what we're saying is, yes, that one person, saving that one person, or you know, leading them to Christ, huge. But what are the ripples that happened in that journey? When you're heading down that river, or even let's even keep it even in more the context even more biblical, when you are baptizing them, when they go down and they come up. What are the ripples that happened in that river that got them there?
Because you're not just, it's not just the effect you have on them. It's now the effect they also have on other people.
Yes.
And also the effect your negativity had on other people. And it just, I'm going to leave the names out of it, but I've just seen it and it just, it hurts me a little bit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because it, we should be the face of good.
Yes, absolutely we should.
And I struggle because I'll spend time online on like on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And some of the most caring and uplifting and motivating and gracious and graceful people I know aren't Christians. And that's good. I'm glad they are.
Right.
But also some of the most hateful ones I know are.
Yes.
We should never be the opposite. Like, other people should not be the standard of what grace looks like when it's shared to other people. We should be at least where they are.
If you hear how I tend to end every stream and every podcast, you know, our job is to love others like Jesus. How would Jesus love them? And if you feel you cannot, if you can't love someone like Jesus, at least leave them better than you found them. Bare minimum, leave them better than you found them.
And I think there are a lot of jobs that we as Christians like to pick up, want to pick up, that are God's. They're not our responsibility. We don't get to... I'm going to say the hard thing. We don't get to play judge, jury, and executioner. None of that is our responsibility on a spiritual level. There are people who have each of those jobs. Those are different things. But on a spiritual level, that's not our problem. That's not our responsibility. That's not what God put us here to do. That doesn't mean you can't bring correction to a person when it's necessary. There is a way of doing that. The Bible talks about that. That's totally fine. But when the only thing that you ever give is negative, when you're only pushing a harsh thing, it stopped being what God asked for, and it stopped being what God called you to do. Because I think a lot of those people were called by God. They've just headed down a different path from the one he put them down, and I get it. I've done the same thing. Your boy is not, immune to that in any way. But we just have to be careful. And I think that's what I kept seeing in this book is that discussion of right things for wrong reasons and wrong things for right reasons. And it just makes me question it shouldn't make me even question myself. It makes me question myself and my own actions, my own choices.
Yeah.
Am I trying to get ahead for good reasons, or am I trying to get ahead for my own selfishness?
Yeah.
Am I trying to help someone because they need help, or am I trying to help someone to flex and to show off and be seen?
Yeah.
And you just can't, you can't end up in that position. And I do it all the time.
Literally just last night, I was playing with some Fortnite with some friends, and they one of them was giving me a hard time because we were doing the music thing. Why don't you go up to expert? You know, you're sitting on the hard level. Why don't you go up to expert? You
know, okay.
And we were playing with a younger person as well, and this is where I fall. This is where I fail, and I went off on, well, is this a great example for XYZ person and blah, blah, blah. And really, should we be talking about that like that? You know, I'm doing the best I can so that I can help the team. And this is bringing, so I went on this whole tirade. And it was,
right.
It was supposed to be fresh, friendly ribbing back.
Right.
But when I woke up this morning, I realized how that could have come off.
Right.
Because that was the last, so we had planned on being that one being the last one, and so we got off, and that's how we left it. And I realized it this morning. I was like, "Yep, looks like I gotta go apologize."
That one's on me.
So I contacted that person this morning. I said, "Hey, remind me, because I had other things I was doing this morning. Hey, text me later today."
So
they texted me and I sent out an apology. That was almost right before we started, so I don't know how.
I have
no ending to this story. But
well, and that's, I guess, we have to be willing to be open to hearing when God's like, hey,
yeah.
And sometimes it happens before, and sometimes we don't hear it till after.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hear it before you send the text. Sometimes you hear that still small voice. And sometimes you send the text and then you look and it's like, oh, that's what you didn't want me to do.
It was the right message of, we really shouldn't be tearing each other down.
Right.
But the wrong reason, because I felt torn. I felt torn down and I kind of tore them down at the same time.
No, I feel you, man.
Yeah.
All right. So, and I'm just going to drop three small verses here.
Yeah.
So Proverbs 16, just at the very beginning, it says, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. Mm. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. So it's, and like you said, it's not even necessarily the wrong thing. It's just about, it's about doing it God's way.
Yeah.
And that's, whether it's this or the Daily Nerd Devo or whatever, that's part of why I don't super prepare for those things up front, because the more time I put in, the more of me you're going to get.
Yes.
And that isn't the point. And that's not true for everybody. Some people need to prepare and have God walk them through the process.
Yeah.
I need to just let God walk. I need him to walk me through it in the moment.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just going to get me.
Yeah.
And when you, that's where you get into trouble.
Absolutely. I host youth weekends. We were just talking about that. I do hosting for youth weekends. And there are certain things that I do need to prepare. I need to know when people are going up. I know when the band, what the last song is for the band. I need to know the message, that the theme and the message that we're trying to bring. But if I write every word out or schedule every single thing, it's me. It's not God working through me.
You're not hearing him anymore. They're just hearing what you got. Yeah, 100% get that, man. 100%.
All right. You said you had a couple of verses.
Oh, it was those three.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Awesome. Oh, man. Bro, I love talking. We don't do this enough.
We don't.
I've said before, and now we're in the thick of the quake season. Like I want to do more hanging out. Like I like outside of streams, outside of this stuff. It's important for us as the body of Christ to know what, like, I'm over here as the thumb or even the pinky, and you're like one of the furthest other ones away from me sometimes. And like, what are you doing over there? I need to know. I want to know just because I want to know. So,
That's where we get to support each other, but it's hard to, and I'm going to say it carefully. Because I can hear you. I mentioned that still small voice. I hear that still small voice in my head right now, Ryan. What I want to see out of these communities, the Christian nerdy ones, and I almost think I'm walking a line now, is more of that, because we're very compartmentalized still.
Yeah,
there are a lot of us. And no matter what it is you want, whether it's World of Warcraft or music or art or whatever, you can find a Christian community for that.
Yes.
But we don't know what each other is doing.
We don't know. Still,
there are a lot of groups, and they're coming together, and it is getting better. It really is. Those groups are growing and kind of meshing, and that's what we need. We want to be – we don't want to be insular, but we do want to be – connected.
Yes.
And that's something that I would like to see more of on some level. But again, I got to walk that line, because at some point seeing more of it is about my own desires.
Right.
And so you got to find that balance, that break point or whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh man. Hey guys, Bible and books, Artemis Fowl.
That's right, baby. Book one.
Just that book one.
Now, the first three chapters of book one, but whatever.
I'm not gonna say this is the last time we see Artemis Fowl and Ryan and Lem together.
I think that's probably true.
And maybe not even just here. I need you guys to start listening to.
I know where he's at.
If you're not already. Guys, Daily Nerd Devo, our boy Ryan
trying to bring it to you regular. I call it Monday through Friday. It's pretty close. There is usually something there, even if it's what I call a rewind, which is just like me pulling an older file back up and running it again. But we try and bring it regular. It is and that's one of those places where I just have to kind of step back and be like, all right, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
God, because the further I walk out front, the further I walk down the wrong path.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we try and bring it to you regular, and I think Artemis Fowl is definitely something you could see show up on the Daily Nerd Devo in the near future in a lot of ways. I'm here for it.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm here for whatever you got.
I'm not saying that the thought of a whole series of Artemis Fowl Devos just happened upon my mind,
but I'm not saying a whole series like that is out of line, because we did a whole series of every Fast and the Furious movie by one guy. We did literally Fast and the Furious Fridays for the better part of 3 months. Seriously, there's a lot of those.
How many chapters are in book one? We have to find
Ben, and he kind of went hard for a hot minute, and I was there for it. So there's definitely some room there.
All right, we'll leave it at that.
Leave it there. I'm going further. We'll see.
Hey, guys. Hey, thank you, Ryan. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it. Hey, appreciate guys, it.
Remember, Jesus loves you. So do I. So does this guy. And always, always, we said it already. You need to remember it. Always leave people better than you found them. Peace. Amen.